This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Hear a knock on the door and the night begins. 'Cause we've done this before, so you come on in. Make yourself at my home, tell me where you been. Pour yourself something cold, baby, cheers to this. Sometimes you gotta stay in, and you know where I live. Yeah, you know what we is. Sometimes you gotta stay in.
Okay, Place to Be Nation. This is Will from Texas, or as I was called all weekend, that podcast guy. So, and I'm here with my buddy, Mr. Tap Out, Dylan Hells, and my other buddy, the Kingpin, Pete.
What up?
Right. And we were going to be joined by Mr. Big League, Johnny P, but something came up and he wasn't able to join us. And I'll explain that reference in a little bit. But the three of us went to Dallas for WrestleMania weekend, and we saw a ton of shows. If me and Pete didn't see a show, Dylan probably saw it. And there were a couple of things that Pete and I saw that Dylan wasn't a part of. So between the three of us, we're going to give you an idea of how hectic and fun WrestleMania weekend was. We already did a reaction show for WrestleMania itself, but we'll get Dylan's thoughts on that show without going over the entire show. But this is really just more about the experience of what was going on Friday through Sunday, and we have tons of shows. And so guys, let's just start off. Me and Pete, we arrive in Dallas about 3. We end up going to the airport to pick up Johnny P, and we enter the Eddie Dean's Ranch for Evolve 58 right before the show is about to begin. And it was a pretty decent place for wrestling. They had some poles in the middle of the the arena there, or you know, the ranch, that kind of blocked some sight lines. But it was a pretty neat place to watch wrestling.
But you were shocked about the parking price when you pulled in, because it was almost the price of a ticket, you know?
Yeah, $20 to park at this place. Yeah, so they kind of rape you on the parking. And now all three of us were there, and the first match goes off. The second match goes off. There were some issues where the endings were botched for both matches. But in the first match, it was saved when this Mark from the audience jumps over the rail and ends up tapping out to Johnny Gargano's finisher. And Dylan, can you explain what happened? Because you were front row, and you saw this Mark jump over and get tapped out. Why don't you talk about this?
Yeah, not only was he a Mark, but he was a total beatnik on top of it. I mean, he looked like he should be reading Dead Poets Society or something, you know?
Sami Zayn with a beard. like a full beard. No, much like you guys, we got there and pretty much went to the show right away. We actually stayed at the Hyatt Regency, which is where WrestleCon and the Ring of Honor shows going on for that first night. So we tried to walk over, and the app didn't work for GPS. It was going haywire. We ended up Ubering over, which was kind of pointless because it was like a half mile away. But we get there, and we are sitting front row. The whole Hales family. I was there with my dad and my two brothers. We were all sitting front row for this show of all 58, and then later on for the WWE and Super Show the next night. So, so basically what happens at the end of this match, it's Gargano and Drew Galloway versus the Premier Athlete brand. And I'll pull back the curtain here a little bit. What happened is they didn't have a ring bell. Somebody had not brought a ring bell. I don't know how that happens on a major show. But they didn't have one when the show was set to start. And, that was really the issue. The finish was botched because the bell didn't ring. It wasn't like any move was poorly executed or anything like that. And I was sitting front row and I yelled, "Somebody ring the fucking bell." There was no bell to ring. And Drew Galloway asked me to come over the railing. So I did. Not, you know, you can imagine what my family was thinking as I jumped up the rail, because none of them heard him ask me to get over the ring railing, I don't think, other than maybe my brother Dustin. And I slid into the ring, and they asked me to demonstrate the finish. And Gargano, you know, Galloway said that Gargano was going to take it light on me. I pointed out that we'd had a previous Twitter beef, so he could sink it in a little more if he wanted to. That was done off mic, but I think you can kind of hear it. And yeah, he sunk it in. I sold it. I shook the hand of Kota Ibushi and Johnny Gargano and Drew Galloway live.
And bowed, and bowed with proper Japanese etiquette, you know?
That's right. And that was it. So I was basically the finish of the first show of Mania Weekend.
This is true. And all I heard from Johnny P is, that's Dylan in the ring. That's Dylan in the ring. I'm like, where? I thought you were like some oiled up muscle guy. And he's like, I'm like, who, the hippie? He's like, yeah, the hippie.
Yeah, and actually the right story is, I go to Johnny P, I go, man, I think that's fucking Dylan in the damn ring. And I go, and Johnny P goes, are you sure? I go, I've seen him on pictures, but I'm pretty damn sure that's him. And Will's like, what the hell are you guys talking about? Like, not fucking Dylan. And then we're like, yeah, man, it's Dylan. And then we started chanting, you tapped out and all that stuff.
Yeah,
I got a nice this guy chant as I left the ring. It was a great moment.
So I mean, okay, Dylan. So I mean, your family has to be losing their shit over this, and your brothers, right? But you know, Evolve 58 was a pretty good show. Now, from our vantage point, there were times where, you know, since we arrived late, we didn't really have good seats. But we were just soaking in the atmosphere, you know. And it seemed like those first two matches kind of took people out of the show, only in the sense that people were unhappy with the finish of the first match. Like you said, they had no bell. I mean, and you saved it, you know, with your impromptu tap out. And then the next match with Timothy Thatcher versus Matt Riddle, they sold it like it was a legit injury to Timothy Thatcher. You know?
Yes.
And
yeah, the
crowd wasn't happy at two kind of like bad finishes in a row.
And actually, in between all that, the referee was running around looking for a bell, and he looked stressed like a motherfucker. Because you could die. I mean, it looked like, you know, like he was going to get fired or something. Like he was personally in charge of the bell or something.
They I have reason to believe they had a bell en route. I won't break kayfabe any more than that. But yes, there was. You got to remember, they had to be on time for the show because CZW was going on right after them. So the iPaper, like, there was no option to take an inordinate amount of time between things. And I think what happened with the Riddle Thatcher match, which I actually liked a lot, I thought it was a really great sort of grapple heavy style match, is a combination of factors. One is Thatcher style is really hit or miss, and I think it works for some people, it doesn't work for others. So there's always sort of the risk of a Thatcher match not getting over as well, just for that reason. But I think the bigger issue, particularly with this match, was you went straight out of the botch finish with the no bell, and there wasn't even like a ring introduction. There was nothing to get the crowd hyped back up. Matt Riddle just hits the ring and the match starts. And, you know,
right.
To me, that was a big mistake. They should have done the ring introductions for both guys, kind of given the crowd something to pop for before the match started. And to do sort of another disputed finish after what was unintentionally kind of a disputed finish in the previous match. Yeah, I mean, even from my perspective, sitting front row, you know, we were talking about it, you know, from that point on. I think it really did hurt the crowd for a while. I mean, it didn't completely lose the crowd. They certainly came back later in the show. But it definitely there was a period there where I thought, boy, this crowd is never going to come back.
Yeah, and then on top of it, they didn't explain, like, Will, you were there. Did you know there was a stip in the first match?
I had no idea.
Yeah, the losing team, which was the Premier Athlete brand, they couldn't tag with each other anymore if they lost.
Yeah, so I heard that. Yeah, I heard that.
With the fucked up finish, that just made that breakup really ugly, you know, on top of it. And then they followed up with, I know that that was the planned finish for the second one, but just after the fucked up finish of the first one, it almost looked like they should have changed the finish of that second match, too, on top of it, because of the flow of the show so far.
Yeah, I actually jumped up after that match ended and said, I'm not coming in the ring and letting Riddle put me in an armbar. There was no way I was allowing that. Oh. So.
Well, let's just run down the card. And we'll talk about if any of these matches stood out. So then we had Fred Yehi versus Marty Skrull. I still can't pronounce the name. Did I say it right, Skrull?
Skrull.
All right, whatever. Squirrel. We'll just call him the Squirrel. Marty the Squirrel, Skrull.
Just call him Party Marty and he'll be fine.
Sammy Callahan versus Ethan Page. Ricochet versus TJ Perkins. A match that a lot of people are talking about as the match of the weekend. Zack Sabre Jr. versus Will Ospreay. And then they finish the show with Chris Hero and Tommy Inn teaming up against Drew Gulak and Tracy Williams. What's their name? The Catch Brothers? Or
Catch Point. Point. Catch Point.
Catch Point. And, well, I didn't know, man. I'm all very new to this stuff. So, I don't want to talk about those matches. I really wanted to talk about that first match, Dylan, because it was kind of like your shining moment. Out of the other matches on this card, what stood out to you, good, bad, indifferent, whatever?
My favorite match on this show, for my personal aesthetic, was the TJP versus Ricochet match, because it was built around limb settling that actually mattered. And while you could argue that when Ricochet was on offense, he didn't sell it a ton, I thought he did a good job selling in between those bursts. And I liked that the match ended on that note. On top of it, I thought the sort of afterward Stokely Hathaway jump in the ring promo was a cool little surprise. And I thought he cut actually a really good promo to kind of set up TJP as the guy who's going to be maybe his dude to get into the Global Cruiserweight Series for WWE, which I think they've done a nice job building TJP over the last couple of maybe month and a half in Evolve. So that match, both from like the storyline perspective and from the work perspective, was my personal favorite. I can't argue with anybody who was blown away by Sabre versus Ospreay. I thought it was a great match within that style. I'm never going to be a guy who's going to love the I don't need to sell right now just because stuff that Ospreay does, but I'm not going to sit here and tell you the match wasn't incredibly exciting and that it wasn't exceptionally well executed, because it was. And it was a super fun match to watch live. It was my second favorite match on the show. So those two really stand out. And of course, you know, Fred Yehi is my boy. I thought he had a good showing all weekend. It was nice to see him in there with some guys who are pretty well known and well acclaimed, and see him look good against all of them. So that's kind of the standout stuff for me from 58.
Yeah. And what I noticed, Fred Yehi still looking for that win, you know, so, which I think Pete informed me that he had not won a match since he started in Evolve. So let's go. Well, hopefully he'll get a win eventually. Pete, what stood out to you here?
Yeah, Dylan hit everything on the head. I was one of the guys who was complaining about Ricochet's lack of offensive selling in that match. But overall, I thought that was the best match of the show. And then the Ospreay Sabre Jr. match was what the crowd just blew their shit. And actually, the main event couldn't follow it, and I felt bad for those guys, because those guys worked hard, but man, they just. Yeah, no one gave a shit at that point, or they slightly got him back into the match, but for the most part, they just couldn't get him back in after having to follow actually both those matches and stuff. They couldn't follow, but those the Ricochet match and the Ospreay match were the two that stood out to me the most, and I liked the AI match too, and I liked the Riddle match too.
I will say that I thought the main event was really good up until the end of the second heat. Section, like, because they kind of when they were beating the hell out of Tracy Williams, I liked it a lot. And then shortly after that, it just went too long. Yeah. You know, I think if they had sort of timed it out a little bit differently, even in that spot, it was never going to be as over as the previous two matches, but I think it would have worked better. It just went too long, I thought. But overall, I thought it was a good show. It wasn't blow away great. It wasn't as good as the Evolve show that I saw in the first, or maybe even either of the two Evolve shows I saw in Orlando in January. But it was a good show. I was very pleased with it, even with some sort of weird booking decisions and the bad luck of those two finishes to open the show.
All right. So for me, you know, I felt bad because you guys know I know Chris Hero, and I was kind of cheering for him. And you know, Chris Hero put on a hell of a performance, man. I mean, he could have been the wrestler of the weekend. But this was put in a bad spot. And someone overheard someone saying that Gabe actually apologized to the guys in the tag for putting them in a bad spot. So, you know, that was a little interesting scoopy scoop. Conversation I overheard.
Yeah, and the Hero kicked that chair. I didn't know if he was working or. It almost hit me, so I had to move a little.
Yeah, what Pete's talking about is afterwards, Hero's going to his gimmick table, and he just nailed a chair, man. And we didn't know if he was working because he was upset that their team lost, or if he was legitimately pissed off because of. The spot they were put in, but you know, and I never found out the answer to that. But I enjoyed the show. The difficult thing with this show is, man, we had just gotten there. The adrenaline's pumping. We're just excited to be in Dallas. We're talking to people. Big League Johnny P is talking to all of these people he knows from the Barbed Wire City contacts.
Yeah, he's talking to Gabe, and who else was he talking to?
Oh, some
Will guy. Pruitt. I know you're talking to Will Pruitt.
No invite. No introductions.
No introduction.
We might have been part of it. We should have been Cameron. We should have been shooting the documentary of how important Johnny P was.
Well, and hey, and to be fair, Pete, and you know this. Once you know, everybody here knows I did a podcast with Rob Naylor. Once I saw Rob after the show, what's the first thing I did, Pete? Because I'm from Texas, from the South, where we're hospitable.
Introduced everybody.
That's right, because that's what you do. You introduce friends to friends. But whatever, it's fine. So my buddy, Big League Johnny P, is not here to defend himself, and I don't care because, you know, hey, I'm going to rag on him the whole show. So anyway, but yeah, I actually paid most attention to that Osprey match just because those guys and Sabre Jr., we're going to talk more about him. To me, he kind of stole the show for the weekend for me. I thought that he was really on point here. And this is a guy that I was not impressed with a few years ago. Like when watching matches of his that were considered match of the year contenders, I was like, I could do without another 140-pound guy who, you know, tries to be fancy. But no, he really stood out and made me want to see more of him. And Pete knows this. We met a wrestler from Scotland, and you know, I'm a Europhile, man. Once it's a line Johnny P agreed with me. You meet somebody with an accent, you automatically want to know where they're from and you know their experiences or whatever. And the guy sitting next to us with his girlfriend, he goes by the name of Danny Boy Rogers in ICW. And I had no idea the guy was a wrestler. I just knew he was from Europe, so I wanted to talk to him. So. A large portion of the show, I'm just talking to him, and a lot of, at times we couldn't even see what was going on in the ring anyway. So he, you know, had fun talking to him. So shout out to Danny Boy Rogers. That was kind of like my highlight. Oh man, I'm talking to Danny Boy Rogers, who we've never heard of before. You know,
and tell the story how his tag partner retired on him, and now he doesn't get booked.
Oh man, so he said that he had really good bookings. That him and his tag partner were a fairly decent tag team, always. Getting booked, then his partner decides to retire, and his bookings dried up. They took away his bookings, man. So I feel for Danny Boy there, and you know, I'm kind of rooting for him. You know, you meet somebody, they seem like a genuinely good person, so you want them to succeed, and that's what we're hoping for Danny Boy there. So at this point, Dylan, me and Pete and the crew we were with, my buddy Brett from Detroit and Big League, we decide that we're going to relax because we had a long day on Saturday, and we were just going to go home, go to the hotel, watch NXT, you know, order some pizza or whatever, and just kind of relax Friday night. So we
Now, Will, before you go into there, explain why we're going to the hotel and not going to a live show like Ring of Honor or NXT because of the Lucha show to be canceled. Yeah.
That's right. Originally, we weren't going to be at the Evolve show. We were we had tickets to WNN's Lucha Libre show. And so we thought we were going to be watching Lucha Libre at 7 o'clock. And me and Pete had even talked about it that if we got into town early enough, we would go see Evolve. But Evolve was not on our original itinerary, you know. But the show got canceled. Then when it was CZW that replaced it, we thought, we can wait. We don't need to see CZW. And I heard there were some good things out of that show. It's just it wasn't what I wanted to do on Friday night. So that's how that happened. So we just talked it over and decided watching NXT, since they only had a show at a convention center that only filled 5,000 people when they could have done it at American Airlines and gotten 20,000, but, you know, whatever. So, Dylan, where did you end up after Evolve 59?
Well, first of all, I'll note this. One thing that I think is worth pointing out is that, and I don't know if this is why they ran the K. Bailey Hutchinson Center or not, but that venue is basically directly between, and it's across the street from Eddie Dean's Ranch, almost literally.
Yeah.
Yep. And on the other side of it, almost exactly across the street, just a little bit farther, maybe a block up, is the Hyatt Regency, where WrestleCon and where Ring of Honor was. So it's about a half mile, maybe a little bit more than a half mile between – everything's in that half mile stretch basically. So after Evolve, we went over to see the Ring of Honor show. We get to the show, and the first thing we see basically as I walk in with my family is P-Dog, Mike Posey of Southern Indie fame, the great white rapper gimmick, which – I kind of marked out. I had no clue he was there. He worked a dark match, teaming up, I think, with Raphael King versus the Pretty Boy Killers, who are local guys. Which was they actually had a really underrated weekend. I'll just say that now because I'm not going to talk about them later. But they worked dark matches for Ring of Honor, and they worked the Texas Mania show I went to after Mania. It actually really impressed me. Ring of Honor starts, and it starts pretty much right on time. Did not have high expectations for the show because my fear was, since they decided not to stream the show and since they hadn't really booked anything of major significance from a storyline perspective for the show, that it would just sort of be a throwaway show and, you know, it wouldn't be very good. And as it happened, I think it was the second best show I went to of the shows I went to this weekend. Everything on the show, with the exception of the women's match, which even that was okay. But everything on the show, I would say, was minimum good. I'm not really a star rating guy, but I would, if you held a gun to me and said, rate these stars using star, I would say every single match on the show, sans the woman's match, was 3 stars or better. I don't think there was anything that was quite blow away match of the year candidate category, but I do think that there were, you know, several matches that were probably just below that level, with one maybe on the borderline, depending on how invested you are in a couple of the characters. So, you know, I don't want to run down every single match on the card, or, you know, in detail every match on the card.
Well, so what were the highlights, like the best matches? Like, if you said, hey, people, go out of your way to see these, which ones are you telling them to watch?
Well, first of all, I would encourage people to get this show. I mean, I think the one discouragement would be if you just wanted to stick it to ROH for being dumb enough to have for their current business model of outrageously high VODs that don't come out on time. But as a show, it was a great show. I mean, to me, the highlights, it's really hard to choose, but my two favorite matches on the show were Roderick Strong versus Moose, which was actually the second show on the show proper, and was the best Moose singles performance I've ever seen. It was like a really, really great match. The crowd was hot for everything too, which I think is important. I was kind of worried about that because of the NXT going on dynamic. I was afraid a lot of people would see this as like, this is a second choice show. Who gives a shit? But the crowd was hot all night. My other favorite match on the show was Jay Lethal versus Lio Rush, which was kind of worked like your sort of traveling NWA champion versus the upstart young babyface. Lethal's treating him like a young punk who's not even in his league. And then slowly over the course of the match, Lethal, you know, Rush earns Lethal's respect. I really think that match should have ended the show. If I have one criticism, I feel like that should have gone on last, because they did an angle after that where Colt Cabana came out to challenge Lethal, which on paper sounds like hell to me, but in practice – in practice was actually genius, and it's the best promo I've seen in 2016. I mean, it was the best Cabana promo I've ever seen. The best. It was outstanding. I mean, basically he cut a promo where he was like, look, I'm tired of being a guy who just settles for being in the mid card, being a guy who's just known as somebody's friend, being a guy who's just known as a podcast host. I can't live with myself knowing that somebody like you, Jay Lethal, has held that title and I haven't. I mean, it was really like a heartfelt, very well delivered promo that came after a great match too. You know, I know my brothers really like the Kyle O'Reilly versus Matt Sydal and the Adam Cole versus ACH matches a lot. I mean, they might have. It's one of those shows where I think what the favorite match is will not be consensus, if that makes sense, because everything's sort of in that 3.5 to 4-star range, kind of like everything's like maybe a 4.25. So it's all sort of in that great, but not quite out of this world great range. So I expect when this becomes available, a lot of people are going to have completely different favorites. I know that's kind of how the Scenic City Invitational was last year, to take an example, like of a card that was kind of like that. But there was a 6-man that was super entertaining on this. The main event was, the Motor City Machine Guns versus the Young Bucks, which not exactly my style of match, but I thought for that style it was entertaining and fun. I don't think it should have been the main event, because I think the main event angle that they shot with Cabana was so good it deserved to go on last. But that's hardly a major criticism of the show when everything on it exceeded my expectations. I went to a lot of shows. If you count the Terry Funk barbecue, which actually had a wrestling show going on during it that I went to before WrestleMania, I went to 8 shows in 4 days, and that's insane. It's ridiculous. And this was probably, I mean, I would say definitely the second best show I went to. So right, people should check it out.
Do you think maybe they didn't go with the Cabana angle last because they're afraid people would start rushing out the door when the bell rang?
I honestly don't know. Like, it's weird, because I think I know there was a fear that they had a fear that people would flee out when they knew Nakamura versus Zayn was going to be on. Like, people would be kind of monitoring that, because, you know, that's going on like, you know, 0.4 mile away, and people can watch it in the hotel if they want to. They can put it up on their phone even if they want to. And I think there was also a legitimate fear that people would watch that on their phone from their seat and not even pay attention to the show.
Yeah.
But the reality is that every match on this show was super heated. You know, at no point did they lose the crowd. If anything, this was probably the most inexplicably hot show I saw, because even myself coming in, I was like, man, I'm going to be checking Twitter. I'm going to be wondering what's going on with the NXT show. I really didn't. I got so wrapped up in the quality of what was going on, I didn't care. I mean, to give you an idea, Bobby Fish versus Chris Daniels was the opener on the show, which on paper is not a match that is in my wheelhouse. And it was like a really good match built around dueling limb psychology, of all things. Like, every single thing on the show delivered. Or it was either at my expectation or higher than what my expectation would be. And I feel like that was the general sentiment for people who were there. Yeah, I was really impressed with the show.
Yeah, it's weird, because, like, Daniels, I've seen him do that type of match, and it's really, when he does it, it's really good with someone who can do it. But then, he comes out and does other things, just stupidity. Yeah, you never know which Christopher Daniels is going to get.
Yeah, we got the good one that night. I mean, I would encourage everybody to go check that show out. I mean, if you're gonna spend money on a Ring of Honor VOD, this was probably about the same level as the Philly show that everybody really liked. Maybe even a little bit better, depending on how you feel about the Cabana angle. So yeah, check it out.
All right. Well, none of us watched NXT. Real quick, Dylan, just a couple of seconds here. What'd you think of the NXT show when you got a chance to check it out?
Well, like an idiot, I went back to my hotel room and immediately watched the NXT show, like right after Ring of Honor ended. In fact, by the time we got to our room, I opened up my computer, put the network on, and the replay was starting like right then. So I didn't have to go to the on-demand. I thought it was a great show. I mean, I would not argue with anybody who said it was their show of the weekend. It's not my show of the weekend. Part of that's probably because I wasn't there live. That just kind of changes your perspective. But it was absolutely a great show. And I think it's pretty fucking amazing that there was a show as good as that Ring of Honor show and that NXT show going on at the same time within like a half mile of each other. I mean.
Yeah, right on.
In wrestling history where that's happened.
Yeah, it was really great. I watched that, and right when I was about to go to sleep, I got a text from an unnamed person telling me to come to the lobby of the Hyatt, and I ended up being up all night. So,
well, we had a long day the next day on Saturday, and that's when we woke up, went to Evolve 59. We got there quite early. You know, we got there about an hour before the show started.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And we were there when they were letting people in, so we got pretty decent seats, good sight line. Show was a little bit less rowdy than the night before, but I mean it's noon, and most people there had probably seen two shows already, you know.
Yeah, man, and they're drunk. I had a pretty girl sit next to me who was annoying as hell.
She was annoying as hell because she was Pete wanted to sit on the edge of the row, so he sat a row behind us, and so while he was sitting next to her, I was listening to her screech in my ear. So, you know, anytime anyone said the word fuck, she'd yell, "Watch your language," or whatever, you know, or "Wash your mouth out," or whatever the hell she was saying. So anyway, this was a really good show. So some of the matches on this show included Gargano and Galloway versus Drew Gulak and Tracy Williams. Chris Hero versus Fred Yehi, Sammy Callahan versus Anthony Nese, Ethan Page versus a tryout winner. I don't know that guy's name. Zack Sabre Jr. versus Matt Riddle, Timothy Thatcher versus Marty Scurll, and the main event was Ricochet versus Ospreay. And Dylan, I know you didn't see this show, but I'm going to ask Pete, what was your match of the show for this
morning? I thought it was Sabre Jr. Riddle. I love that match. I love the mat work, and they did like the British style combined with some of the more of like the battle arts MMA style of a Riddle, and they just meshed it really well, and I thought they had a classic, really strong match.
This is when, like I said, I thought Sabre Jr. was really impressive the night before, but this is when I was like, wow, this guy's really good. And Matt Riddle has so much charisma.
Doesn't he?
I mean, I have any idea who this guy was outside of UFC, right? And then all of a sudden, I'm watching him in the ring, and I'm like, man, this guy can go. And so I was really excited to see both guys again later on for the Mercury Rising show. And I'm going to give a shout-out to the opener, which was Johnny Gargano and Drew Galloway versus Catch Point.
Because, awesome match, yeah.
To me, the night before, you know, we talked about the Gargano-Galloway match having the botched ending and then the mark coming into the ring. And then we talked about Catch Point not being able to follow the Ospreay match. And so it's almost like they wanted to atone for the sins of the day before, but just really good classic tag team action that just built and built and built.
And Galloway's arm selling was fantastic in this.
Galloway
match.
Sold the hell out of his arm. And those guys, I mean, it was like they were inventing new ways to destroy his arm.
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah, really a strong tag match.
Oh, yeah, man. So, I mean, to me, I was like, wow, that's really freaking good. I mean, like, I was buzzing about that match. I just did, you know, and that was just a great way to set it off. And then after the match, Galloway turns heel, you know, on Johnny Gargano.
Yeah.
And cuts a nice heel promo, okay?
Well, that's what happens when you put your finish on me, buddy. Don't ever think that shit won't go unavenged. Galloway in the ring spouting political hit theory the day after Johnny Gargano has me in his finish on Evolve and he's triple religious boy. You think that's the coincidence?
That's awesome. So, but yeah, so I strongly urge people to check that out. I know a lot of people had problems with the feed. So
one other thing I want to talk about Riddle is that, like, he even worked his gimmick at the gimmick table. Like, he was cheering on his Catch Point brothers and booing their opponents from the gimmick table, which I just absolutely marked out for and loved because I liked it when they – I mean, I want them to be accessible. Did I say accessible? I meant accessible. But I like
it. I thought you said sex symbol.
Yeah, I know, right?
And he I thought he said sexable. Like,
yeah, I know.
You don't –
I mean, Riddle's a pretty handsome man with those dimples live, let me tell you. And but, man, yeah, I love the fact that he was working his gimmick, you know. I mean, he was really cool with the fans and stuff. Don't get me wrong. He's really a personal guy. But, man, I love the fact that he was booing his opponents, teammates' opponents. I just loved it. I marked out for it.
Yeah, and I also want to throw a shout-out to Dylan's buddy, Fred Yehi, because him and Chris Hero had a really good big man versus little man slash veteran versus young gun match as well.
Yep.
Where Hero kind of gobbled him up, but Yehi did such a great job of doing the comebacks that it kind of stood out as like a unique match on the show. Yeah. Unlike the Ethan Page match where he just kind of squashes the tryout wrestler.
And the selling of Yehi really, you know, makes it stand out even more. Because that guy, right. Man, he gets it.
Now, let me ask you, because we'll talk about Yehi selling that soon in probably a little bit more detail. But let me ask you guys, because the big buzz, I mean, I think, you know, the biggest match on the show was the Ospreay-Ricochet match in terms of buzz. And obviously, that doesn't necessarily fit the three people on this phone's primary aesthetic taste for wrestling. Having said that, you know, what did you guys think of that match live, which everybody seems to be going crazy about?
I enjoyed it. I called it a firecracker match because it was, you know, it was a firecracker. But, you know, they did some stuff I can't stand. Like, they take each other's jackets and pose in each other's jackets. And, like, I think that's stupid. Like, why would you put on your opponent's jacket for? I mean...
Dude, they're showing each other up. Come on,
yeah.
Pete.
I just think
that's
it's dumb.
The one thing that is not to be critical about.
I think it's dumb, but other than that, I enjoyed it. I mean, it was definitely a really fun spot fest. You know what they do well.
Here's what I thought. I thought that one, it shouldn't be called a firecracker match. It should be called a sugar rush, as my good friend Childs from the Baltimore Sun likes to call it. But yeah, it's a match where they're going to do a lot of cool moves, a lot of great counter sequences, and they didn't botch anything, right? So that's kind of thing. You know what you're getting into when the match is signed, right? And you either accept it or you don't. And I accepted it, you know, I embraced it, and we cheered and we popped, and there were some really jaw-dropping moments in the thing. But like I said, that's not my personal favorite style, so I didn't have, like, a personal connection to it.
Yeah, it's a match, you know, Meltzer would have given 4 3/4 stars to in the Observer.
No, Meltzer would have given it 5.
Okay, he probably would have given it 5. I mean, we would have been like, it's got to be good.
Meltzer was there. And probably will give it 5.
Okay. Yeah, it was good. But, yeah, I wouldn't call it a 5-star classic by, you know, any stretch. But it was really good.
Yeah. And so, you know, so it was definitely worth seeing. For me, live, this was kind of my show of the weekend, you know.
Ditto.
And part of it was because we saw the whole show.
Yeah.
2, we had good seats. And 3, the wrestling delivered, you know, from top to bottom. So
I had a little bit of it was like the 3-ring circus. We got a little bit of everything, you know. We got some mat wrestling, got a really good tag, got some Sugar Rush firecrackers. You had Hero. Even though, I mean, he's a technical guy, I always think of him as a brawler because his strikes are so damn stiff. And you got some good selling from AI. Yeah, I mean, no complaints, you know. And Skrull and Thatcher still had a really good match, too, that I enjoyed.
Yeah. Well, you know, I do have to admit, because I know you were hyping up TJ Perkins, Dylan. I fell asleep during the Tommy N versus TJ Perkins match.
Yeah, that was, and I can understand why, because I found it pretty boring.
Well, I was just tired, man. I'm an old man. I need my naps. So it wouldn't be the first nap I took during a show on Saturday. So anyway, so no, we had a good time. I think you should check it out. I think the people should check the show out. It's a bummer that, you know, WNN was having problems with the feed, because there's hardly any buzz at all about this show. And mainly because most people weren't able to watch it. So.
Yeah, it just got up online right now. Well, maybe like 10 minutes, 15 minutes before we got on, started the podcast.
Wow, okay. So then, anyway, then we made that track to the ROH show. The show had already begun. We got there right before, and I don't want to do spoilers because some of this stuff isn't going to come out. So we can talk maybe about some of the matches that happened. Let's just not give away finishes, guys. But we got there right before a 2 out of 3 falls match between Roddy Strong. Was it Roddy Strong and Bobby Fish?
Yep.
Yeah. And what we saw was pretty good. But at that point in time, Johnny P and our buddy Baker were talking to a guy who's about 5'1", 5'2", with heels on. my buddy Rob Naylor. And so I made my way over there to talk to them. And then this big hairy guy comes up. This, you know, I wouldn't say big, but this tall hairy guy comes up. And I'm just like, oh, okay, must be another guy that Johnny P is going to big league me on. And he's just staring at me. And he's like, what the fuck? And I'm like, dude, did this dude just what the fuck me? What the hell? Right? And then he starts talking. I'm like, damn, that's Dylan Hell. So I got to meet Dylan at ROH. All right, because once I heard his voice, I knew it was him. And it was like, okay. I was like, man, you know, it's like, man, I thought Dylan's from the South. He's going to shake my hand, introduce himself. Nah, he just kind of gave me this what the fuck look. And, you know, but then once I figured out it was him, it was all good, man. It was all hugs and kisses after that. But the ROH show itself, and Pete, I'm going to let you talk in a second about the matches. I was kind of still on an evolve high, so Pete and I went to an ROH double shot this past fall, right, Pete? Like September or something? October?
Yeah, something like that.
And, man, after watching two ROH shows back-to-back, and I'm not a fan of ROH booking, I just was so uninterested in this show. I mean, I'd seen these guys wrestle. I didn't see anything new. I didn't see anything special. I don't have an emotional connection. So I was more excited to talk to Dylan, to talk to Naylor, to talk to Johnny P and these guys, to hang out with Pete, than I was to watch the wrestling. But there was a four-way between the Motor City Machine Guns, Young Bucks, War Machine, and who's the other team?
Briscoes.
And the Briscoes. That was fun. You know, it was kind of exciting. A lot of big moves, a lot of big spots, a lot of big double teams. You know, that kept my interest. And then they had a street fight that I couldn't even tell what was going on, because they spent most of the match outside of the ring.
And we left before we really give them a chance to get into the ring. But they spent five minutes on the floor. I mean,
It was like, dude, they spent a long time on the floor, and it was like, we could go eat and get to the Super Show really early so we get good seats, or we can stick around and watch the crowd react to guys fighting on the floor. And so we left early. But Pete, from what you saw, what was your take on this ROH TV tape?
Yeah, I liked the Roddy Strong, Bobby Fish. I saw Dylan, you didn't really care for it that much. Or you liked it, but you thought it had flaws or something like that. I enjoyed it. I thought they had a real good structure. I thought they both I thought the story was pretty well done with the back work and the ankle work. I started screaming at Roddy Strong that he sucks, and he yelled it, and he yelled it right back at me, and it kind of threw my feelings, got hurt, because I voted for him as my favorite wrestler of the year. I forget these wrestlers have really good hearing. And yeah, he picked me out of the crowd real quick, and started jawing with me from the seventh row. So I'm an old school fan where I like to boo the heels and cheer the baby faces, and I want to see genuine heat, even though I know we get "This is awesome" and "You still got it" and "These two guys" chants.
Calm down, Jim Ross.
I know, are the norm. I still like to boo and cheer, and I think when I go to these Ring of Honor shows, I feel the wrestlers appreciate it because they jaw with me the whole entire freaking time. Will can attest to the last show we went to on that double shot. They were all coming up and getting in my face on their way back to the ring and from the ring and stuff. And this is really the only time I got a chance to, because then I joined you guys and shot the shit with you guys for a little bit while still trying to watch the matches. But yeah, I like that match, and I like the tag match. I thought that was a good, fun high spot thing. And I saw a little bit of that before we came in. I saw most of the Diamond Dijak and what's his name? Will Ferrara match. Yeah, I thought that was pretty good too. But yeah, we left at the main event. How many hours was that show, Dylan? Because it looks like they're not. It wasn't a 4-hour show.
It was a little bit over three.
Okay.
It was not quite as long as night one, and nowhere near as good as night one. I mean, it certainly wasn't a bad show. I thought it was a solid, good show. If I had not seen the show the night before as a point of comparison, I think I might have liked something like Fish versus Strong more than I did, because Fish versus Roddy versus Moose from night one was just so good that there was no way it was going to be. I mean, it was a good match, actually. I disliked Roddy and Bobby Fish. In my mind, I would have thought that two out of three falls stip, especially if it's well executed, is one I tend to really mark out for. And this was a well executed two out of three falls match. It just was not as good as Roddy's match from the previous night. And that kind of, it's hard not to compare the two when you've just seen one the night before.
And to be fair, this is a TV taping and not a video on demand show too.
I don't know about that. I mean, I think this is actually going to be a VOD too, because the way they presented it was that these were both being taped for VOD, and on the pre-show, that's how they announced it. In fact, if you look at it, it's listed to Supercard of Honor Night 1 and Night 2, and it's not, because originally it was supposed to be a TV tape, but I'm not sure that this will be on TV. I think this. I mean, I'm not positive of it. Which is why I'll try and honor the spoiler talk that Will mentioned at the beginning of the show. But the impression I got is that it will actually be another VOD. But we'll see. If this is a VOD, I can't in good conscience tell people to go out and buy this just because of the price of ROH VODs. Whereas the previous one, I absolutely could. I will say that I really did like the Dijak Ferrara match quite a good bit, other than the unnecessary one count spot at the end, which is the most overused bullshit trope in wrestling these days. But that the match I thought was real good. Dijak, I think, is one of the more improved guys in wrestling over the last year. That was like one of the standouts for me. I enjoyed War Machine versus Silas Young and Beer City Bruiser for what it was.
Yeah.
And I actually really liked that four-way tag, the Spot Fest tag. It wasn't as innovative or flashy as the Osprey stuff, for example, that we saw this weekend, or even Ricochet versus TJP, maybe even when Ricochet was on offense. But I think I enjoyed it more, with the exception of the six-man that we'll talk about here shortly from Mercury Rising, because I'm such a mark for the Briscoes, and because in a tag team setting, it makes a little bit more sense for me for these guys to be – more time to sell shit, basically, in between taking crazy shit. So I actually that might have been my favorite pure spot adrenaline match of the weekend, other than the main event of Mercury Rising, if that's how you want to characterize it.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. And so that was the ROH show. And so Pete and I.
Well, are you going to tell? I'll talk about how you got big shotted again, Will.
Oh yeah. So my buddy Johnny P and I, we go outside, take a smoke break or whatever, and we come back out, and we asked the attendant at the door, the security, like, hey, here's our tickets or whatever. He's like, man, I remember your faces. You're good. You're good. Go back, right? We're like, okay, cool. So, we didn't have to worry about our tickets. We go outside to have a smoke break. Come back in, and there's Dave Meltzer and Brian Alvarez. And so we're walking, and they're walking, and then Johnny P says, "Hey, Dave Meltzer, remember, I'm Johnny P from Barbed Wire City." And Alvarez and I keep walking, and we turn around. They had stopped and started talking. I just tell Alvarez, I'm like, "Well, I guess we both got left behind at the altar here, you know?" And we just keep walking, and they're just standing still. So we go back. And, of course, Johnny P didn't say, you know, he didn't say, "Hey, this is my buddy Will, you know. He's the guy who picked me up from the airport yesterday, you know, when it was a half hour out of his way, you know." Right? He just keeps talking. Then he introduces himself to Brian Alvarez, because I guess Alvarez had interviewed him. And he's like, "Well, nice talking to you, Dave," walks away. So we're like, okay. So I just got big leagued again. No big deal. No big deal. I expect it. By this time, I fully expect it from Johnny P. Then as we're going through to go back to the ROH show, Dave Meltzer and Brian, they didn't have their press passes or whatever, because the doorman asked them, is like, "Do you have your tickets?" Because, you know, the guy didn't recognize them. And they're like, "No, we're pressed." He's like, "Well, I need to see a press pass." And so Johnny P, you know, since he's Dave's best friend or whatever, says, "Don't you know who this is?" And the doorman's like, "No." I was like, "Have you ever heard of Dave Meltzer's Wrestling Observer?" He's like, "Yeah." I said, "This is Dave Meltzer and Brian Alvarez." And then the doorman just completely changes to, "Oh, go right in, go right in." You know, so Johnny P got Dave Meltzer into the ROH TV taping or whatever. So, you know. And, it was funny, man. I gave Johnny shit.
Yeah, and Johnny introduced him to the doorman and not you.
I know. What is that? I mean, I'm an asshole, right, Dylan? I mean, there's no denying that. I mean, we had fun at the show. We had a good time. I am an asshole by nature. And so I figured Johnny P was afraid that I would say something embarrassing or something. And to be fair, I probably would have. Like, "Hey, man, I think your taste in wrestling sucks," or, you know, "Tell Brian Alvarez, yeah, your voice grates on me like a bomb going off in a little town or something." I don't know. Whatever. The point is,
great analogy.
You know, the point is that, you know, that's what Johnny P does. He big leagues people. He's a star, and us minions aren't, you know, up to his task. But he still does the reaction shows with us, and the. We love him, so...
This will teach him to oversleep a podcast again.
Right. Yeah, sorry, Johnny P. No defense for you, right? And Pete's piling on, too, because, hey, Pete felt it, too. So, anyway, so then we make our way. Now, Dylan, you were at the ROH... what was it, WrestleCon convention.
Yeah.
What did you see there? Like, what was the vibe there? Just real brief.
I was there real briefly. I was only there for a couple hours. It was mainly there just to there was, like I said, we stayed in that hotel on Friday night. So Saturday morning we had time to kill before Ring of Honor. So we decided to go downstairs and check it out. I mean, I will say this. If you're somebody who is into autographs, like somebody I know on the phone, if you're into certain types of wrestling memorabilia, I think it was really cool. I did not buy a lot of stuff there, but it was neat to observe. It was fun to watch my dad mark out and get a mark picture taken with the Honky Tonk Man and Bushwhacker Luke and Ron Simmons. That was probably worth it just for that. So that was kind of amusing and entertaining. There were some cool booths there. I stopped by the Freelance Wrestling booth for a while because that's one of my favorite independents in wrestling today. Talked to the guy manning it, and who is also a performer / promoter of Freelance. But bought a DVD and a shirt, and I mean it was cool for what it was. That's not really my scene. I would probably do it again. If I was going to do it again, I would want to do it where I had more time to sit in and listen to the panels. Like they have panel discussions going on all day. When I got there, Conan was talking and I listened to him for a little bit. And then as I was leaving, Vince Russo was talking, and I thought it was appropriate that I would be walking out on Vince Russo. So, but I mean, the idea of it, I think, is really neat. It's not cheap. Which is probably my, your cost on it cost a pretty decent amount of money to even get in the door. let alone to actually get the individual autographs and things of that nature. But it is a cool environment because it's the only type of thing like that for wrestling fans, right? It's like in a single big place. So if you're into that sort of thing, it's the only thing like it. There's no other comparable sort of wrestling fan convention type deal. I mean, Cauliflower Alley exists, but it's a different vibe. This is the, you know, more about as much about the fans as it is about the performers. So, I mean, from that perspective, it was neat. And being in that hotel was neat because, like, you know, you'd sit down to eat and you'd look next to, oh, look, it's Road Warrior Animal and Paul Ellering in their full gear eating next to you at lunch. Like, I mean, that's entertaining just to be a part of, right? So, but yeah, it was fun. It was fun for 2 hours. I probably could have farted around there for another hour and been fine with it, but I don't think I'd spend a whole day there unless I had been going to their wrestling show, which we should mention happened on Saturday night, and by all accounts was a really good show. None of us went to it, but I heard nothing but good things about that. And also, I'll just mention this now so we don't, you know, have to close any loose ends at the end. None of us went to Shimmer, but I actually heard great things about Shimmer from people who are not really huge women's wrestling aficionados. Heard excellent things about it. I heard it was a great show from multiple people whose opinions I trust. So
good.
I will probably track that down. Yeah, sounds like they really hit it out of the park. Sounds like Heidi Lovelace had an awesome night, which is not really surprising because she's really fucking good. But that's another one that people might want to check out.
Yeah, I guess like this convention and then I guess like the Mid-Atlantic Legends convention is really the only type of things where if you're into autographs and getting a bunch of wrestlers all together at once is really the place to be.
Yeah, or I know, Pete, you do a lot of Comic-Cons, you know, to get your autographs. So,
yeah.
You know, well, okay, so then we get to Mercury Rising. And Mercury Rising starts off with Zack Sabre Jr. versus Chris Hero. Man, guys, I'll tell you what, live, this might be my match of the week right here. I just love this live. I thought this was amazing. I thought Hero put on a hell of a performance. It was the first match out of the three we saw him in where I thought he really got the time and the attention to kind of put on one of those Chris Hero classics. And this kind of like, this was to me, this is Sabre Jr. going 3 for 3 for the shows. And so I loved every bit of this. And then later on, there were some matches. I'm forgetting what they are now. Shit. Sorry, guys. Old man brain fart here.
Well, Riddle versus Tracy Williams.
Yes. Okay, there he goes. So then you had Drew Gulak versus Fred Yehi, which I enjoyed. Matt Riddle versus Tracy Williams, which might kind of that's almost like Hero, like if Hero and Sabre Jr. is my match of the night, Riddle versus Tracy Williams was my second match of the night. And then you had Ethan Page versus Anthony Nese in an Anything Goes match. Absolutely did not care about this match at all, but I'll give them credit. They got the crowd into it by the end after some botches early on. And then Pete and I had a dinner date with Jim Ross, so we left early. Plus, I had some bubble guts issues, so I really need to take care of that. I'm just throwing it out there.
But I watched the rest of the show on video on demand, so I saw
okay.
The show, yeah.
So you saw the whole thing, and so we're going to let you two take over and kind of give your thoughts on Mercury Rising.
Well, I'll say, you know, to me, this was the best show I attended all weekend. I wasn't at 59 like you guys. I haven't watched it yet. It's hard to compare, although I did just order the video on demand, so I will watch that as soon as possible. But there pretty much is only one serious criticism I could level against the show, and that is that it was a little long. I didn't think – to me, it didn't feel as long as it did to some other people who were there.
It felt long because we wanted to stay as long as we could. And then, oh, I should mention that Cactus Jack Sabu Mick Foley segment,
great,
or Terry Funk.
For me.
It was really good, but it lasted really long.
And to me, it didn't feel long, but I'm an ask Terry Funk, Mark. You know, so like they could have sat in the ring all night and fucking rolled dice and drank Colt 45s, and I'd have been fine. Like, there's literally nothing they could have done during that segment that would have made me anything other than, you know, losing my shit. So,
and I lost my shit quite a bit that night.
I mean, to me, this was a show where everything, with the exception of one match, which I will mention in a second, either was better than I thought or as good as I thought. The exception was Callahan versus Thatcher, which, it just didn't get over. I mean, there's no way to defend it. I mean, I've been as big a Thatcher mark as anybody has been over the last 2 years. Watching him live on these shows, you know, I give him a lot of credit for selling, but one thing that I noticed being there live was that match, there were moments where the crowd was getting into it and he would sort of lay there through it instead of trying to milk it and make a comeback. I just did not think his timing was very good in that match. You know, I didn't think it was a bad match. I thought it was good for, you know, probably like a 3-star match, perfectly fine, good little match. But for a title match, as the blow off to the big weekend, there's no way to see it as anything other than a disappointment, I'm afraid. I mean, but the rest of the show, everything was as good or better than I thought it would be. I loved the Ahai Gulak match. The selling Fred did of his leg in that match was fucking awesome. It was the best sell job anybody did all weekend. He joined Catch Point afterward and was still selling the leg later when he came back out with them, which I thought was great because nobody does that anymore in 2016.
Thatcher did it all weekend. I mean,
that's true. Hero versus Saber, although I think it's easier to fill an arm than a leg. But
Hero versus
Saber to me was the best match of the night and the best match I saw all weekend. But I'd only have Riddle Williams and the 6-man tag slightly below it. I mean, Riddle Williams was, I've described this online, like to me it was like 1999 Battle Arts. Like it was like watching Alexander Otsuka versus Ishikawa or something. Like just crazy spots. Matt Riddle took two of the craziest, most absurd head drop spots in that match. Probably shouldn't be taking them, but fuck. You know, I just thought he was amazing. I mean, he's it's no secret to people who follow me on Twitter. He's probably one of my 3 or 4 favorite wrestlers on earth right now. So I thought he was great all weekend. This 6-man tag. I do want to put over the FIP title match because on paper that could have been bad. It was Maxwell Chicago, Gary J. Versus the champion Cale Conley, and it ended up being like a legitimately great match. Like a 4-star match. I don't know how it will come up on VOD live in the building. It was super hot and super fun and way exceeded my expectations.
Right.
And then, you know, that 6-man tag main event with the Euro team versus Ibushi and Gargano and help me out here.
Perkins.
Who the hell was Ibushi and Gargano?
Perkins,
TJP, that's right. That match was like a legitimately great match that had a huge aura and vibe to it. As did Hero and Saber, by the way. I thought both ends of that show, both matches felt like huge events. And that's something that's really hard to do, even on a super show indie environment. Both those matches were like great. I was blown away. I mean, to me, there was probably 4 matches on this show that I thought were 4 stars or better, and a couple more that I'd have below that level.
Nice.
I said this elsewhere, I'll just say it again. You know, to me, this is the best live wrestling show I've ever attended, top to bottom. I mean, like, it was, part of that was probably enhanced by being front row and by, you know, the sort of uniqueness of some of the matches. Getting to see Terry Funk live in the ring, but the Foley surprise was no good. I'll grant all that. But to me, this is probably my favorite live show I've ever been to.
All right, Pete. I thought
Evolve 59 was better than this show. I didn't like, and I watched the second half on video on demand. I didn't like the FIP. Even though I loved Maxwell Chicago, I didn't feel he fit the theme of the match and made it look weird, so it didn't click to me. But I loved Maxwell Chicago. I think I would love to see him in a straight up comedy match. I think it'd be great. The girls match, I enjoyed it for what it was, and I'm with you, Will. The Ethan Page match just it didn't really do anything for me, even though I think Ethan Page has improved leaps and bounds, and I'm glad he's gotten away from the comedy and he's using his build and his frame to be more physical in his matches. It just still didn't do anything for me. I'm long past liking, you know, chair shots and setting up chairs for spots and all that, so it really didn't do anything for me. So I will
say real quick, like on that note, I do want to say real quick, I actually liked Paige and Nice better than the O'Reilly Cole match that was okay. Ring of Honor's version of the same thing, if that makes sense. So,
that's
but
cool, yeah.
But I agree with you that I'm kind of past that style. It's like, whatever.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's almost like you can do it on any indie show almost, and you know, it just doesn't do it for me. Yeah, but I can see where you're coming from. I mean, for me, it was the most different card of the night of the three we've seen, where it had a lot of more variety, and it did go longer, and we did have the Terry Funk thing, which was cool. But I mean, Sabu needs to go away. That guy, he was in that ring past. It was to honor Terry Funk, and Sabu was the last guy to leave the ring. Kind of leaves a not a dirt mark on it, but it's just, you know, it's typical what you're expecting from Sabu, the milk every moment, trying to get some more people to buy his autograph and stuff. I liked Evolve 59 better.
Fair enough. So then Pete and I went to the Jim Ross show at the House of Blues. Took a while to get some parking, but we got in the show. We had reserved seats, so we didn't have to worry about it. And if you ever get a chance to see one of these Jim Ross shows, what sucks is he'll bring a guest out, but you have no idea who the guest is. Right, Pete?
All
right.
Yep.
So it's kind of a crapshoot. Because when Jim Ross is on the stage talking and telling stories by himself, it's one of the most engaging times you'll have during the weekend.
Yeah.
It was fun listening to Jim Ross. He told stories about Andre the Giant. He told stories about Dick Murdoch. He was in Texas, about Dick Murdoch picking up a transvestite. That was fun.
Great story.
Talked about WrestleMania 17. Talked about Jerry World and how big it was. Talked about Jim Cornette on a plane and how Jim has a fear of flying. And so I don't want to give away the stories because we could be here all night. But that part of the show was great.
Yep.
And for that night, the guest was RVD.
Who was the worst of the three guests he had all week? All weekend.
Who are the other two guests?
We had Jeff Jarrett and Karen. Jarrett was the afternoon one. And then Monday night, he had Jim Cornette.
Oh, man. Yeah. So I would have loved to have seen the Cornette show. And I definitely would have loved to have seen the Jarrett, because I could have asked both of them about Memphis and Lawler and everything else. You know?
Yeah.
But we got RVD, and we got a drunk crowd.
Yeah, rowdy drunk crowd.
But we also got a crowd full of, marks. I hate saying, I want to say marks, but it was like
dumb
RVD.
Marks.
Hold on, RVD, what were you thinking of when you leapt into Bam Bam Bigelow into the crowd, and you did it twice in one match? Then we had a drunk guy who kept buying him and Ross shots, and it was funny. One of the guys who asked the question said that wrestling was still real to that guy, because you could tell he was on the verge of tears when he gave RVD a shot. He was like, yeah. "Y'all need to respect him. He's the best wrestler that's ever lived."
God. And,
yeah. And RVD said that he was thinking about doing some comedy shows, but he didn't come across very funny to me. You know,
yeah.
It was almost like he wants to be funny, but you have to be too cool to be funny.
Yeah, he came across as entitled, too.
That's fair. But, you know, he was an RVD character, and I just didn't enjoy the Q&A with RVD. I was hoping for a little bit more substance. Instead, I got a bunch of drunk assholes. But
yeah, the guy, the moderator, didn't use my question, which pissed me off, and And then this one jackass in front of us hijacked the show to ask if any of them were, because Jeff Hardy and the Hurricane showed up at the last minute, and him and Jim Ross started yelling at each other, and then Bud Ross let him ask his question, which was, are any of you guys going to the temple? It's like, are you kidding me? That's your question? Are any of you guys going to the temple?
And Jim Ross didn't let anyone else answer. He just said, well, let me answer that. Him, no. Him, no. Him, no. All right, next question.
Yeah. The Q&A just sucked so bad. Maybe in an afternoon crowd it might have been better. I'm not sure.
If we go next year, we're definitely going during an afternoon show or an early show, not a late night show.
Yeah, because this was guys who'd been wrestling fans who've been drinking all day. I probably had all the shows, and they were just rowdy. I'm all for drinking and having fun, but man, when you start ruining it for other people, then fuck off. And that's kind of how I felt. And it was just felt like Will and I just wasted our time there, and I was kind of pissed off about the whole second half of that show and the fact that they didn't use my fucking question. They'll use those fucking retarded questions. Stupid. Sorry for retarded people out there. They'll use those stupid questions. But geez, man. Unbelievable. Yeah, I mean, we have Jim Ross, and no one asks him any damn territorial questions. I mean, what the hell, you know? You have a guy who had history in Mid-South in our state of Texas, and no one asked him any territory questions.
I actually had a question planned out until I saw RVD was the guest and where the crowd was going. I wanted to ask why he thought, like, knowing JYD personally, why he thought he was the guy that got over so big compared to Watts, you know, trying in vain to get other black stars over in Mid-South, you know?
Good question. But,
that's a great question.
But once you saw the crowd and what they were about, there was no point. It'd get lost in translation. And that host, he was some radio guy in Dallas. He was the absolute worst. What was his question? Who do you think will win, The Undertaker versus Shane O'Mac out in the cell?
Yeah.
Another girl asked, what should my husband do to get noticed in wrestling? Another girl asked, who's going to win between Dean Ambrose and Brock Lesnar? It was like, oh my God, shoot.
I hope Jim Ross gave that woman the Tony Jones answer from Beyond the Mat. You need to develop your pectoral muscles more up here.
Yeah, and RVD got so sloshed, there was like a table behind him, and he knocked over the table with all the drinks on it, and he didn't even notice. Just terrible. Yeah, him. He must have had 12 or 14 shots of Fireball in like the hour he was there, and that's a lot. I mean, to be able to talk coherently and have a conversation. And I know wrestlers drink and do all this stuff, but man, that's a lot of shots to, and that's why you knock over tables. You could tell Jim Ross was like, this is just turning into a complete fuck fest, and I'm sure he'd rather have people he trusts as his guests from now on.
Well, Ross was shooting with them, man.
He was, but he wasn't making an ass of himself by knocking over tables and stuff. I bet you RVD will never be invited back on the show.
I'm going to disagree with Pete, because when we went to the Place to Be barbecue the next day, the guy who's hosting it, Nick, said he loved it. He loved every minute of it.
Okay, well, there we go.
So anyway, Dylan, the next day before WrestleMania, Pete and I were hanging out at the Place to Be tailgate, and we talked about that at length on the WrestleMania recap. What were you doing before WrestleMania?
Well, we switched hotels Saturday night, so we were at the Days Inn directly across the street from AT&T Stadium. Like literally, like you cross the street and the parking lot is there. And we slept in late. I really didn't sleep much. I didn't sleep much at all this entire trip. But we went down the street about, I'm going to say one city block maybe, to the Terry Funk barbecue that was put on by WWN Live. which was, you know, I assumed it was going to be like some outdoor thing. It was actually like inside of some building. I don't know what the hell the building normally is used for. I couldn't really tell. And Funk was up on a stage signing autographs, and they had like a walkthrough sort of barbecue buffet, which for me does no good because I don't eat meat. But the people who I were with were happy. Big shock that the hippie with the giant beard doesn't eat meat, right? And as the show, what was kind of neat is, you know, there were some wrestlers walking around. I saw Jason Cade from, you know, FIP/Evolve. Gargano and Ethan Page were holding court at a table. I was told Robert Anthony from Freelance was there, but I never did bump into him, even though I was wearing my Freelance shirt. Gabe was walking around. I talked to him briefly. DJ had a few others. But there was a wrestling show going on from ACW, which is kind of like the third tier of the WWN Live promotion. Like, you've got like Evolve, FIP, and then ACW. And it's a ring set up. There's only a handful of people paying attention at any given time, but I actually was watching here and there because some of these guys were doing completely crazy things, given the fact that they're working the Terry Funk barbecue.
Well, hold on. That's not our ACW, is it, Shu?
Sorta. They actually use both promotions.
Oh, it's not Anarchy. It's American Combat.
It's not the one, but both of them use some of the same talent. Like, I think both Brady works both spots and stuff like that.
It's possible. There was a lot of, like, there were some guys I know from Southern Indies who were at the show. Like, as I was walking out of the door to go to WrestleMania, like, Slade Porter took a double fucking high angle DDT on the floor. I'm like, Jesus Christ, dude. Like, and Gargano and Ethan Page are like marking out for it as it's going on because they can't believe these guys are doing this shit. So that was pretty entertaining. At one point, one of the guys brought a heel in the crowd for, you know, fans to chop them, you know, that spot, right? And instead of a fan chopping him, this little kid who couldn't have been older than maybe 5 or 6 walks up to this wrestler and peppers him with like 14 punches to the gut as hard as he can, which popped the whole fucking room. This little kid just beat this guy's ass. He's got like red marks on his stomach. It was pretty fucking funny. But of course, you know, the real reason we were there was to see Terry Funk. And it was a long line. As we're in line, my dad's trying to get his WrestleMania tickets on the phone, and the Ticketmaster app's not working. We're turning the phone off. I'm texting you guys like, God damn, because I was going to try and meet with you guys at least for a half hour before Mania, but the line's taking a long time, and my dad's in panic mode because we don't know if we're even going to have our friggin' tickets. And then we get up to Terry Funk right as we kind of figure out the ticket situation, sort of, we think. We figured, you know, we were probably in line for like an hour, and we figured, okay, he's going to take a quick picture with us, whatever, and it's going to be the end. He talked to us for like, I don't know, 15 minutes. I kind of felt bad for the people who were behind us in line. He seemed really excited that my dad, you know, was from grew up in Albuquerque and was familiar with, you know, Ricky Romero and Mike London and the old people who ran the Amarillo Wrestling Office. And he had, you know, my dad had grown up watching Terry's dad, Dory, wrestle. And Terry seemed pretty touched by this. You know, you never know with carnies, but there was nothing in me that led me to believe he was being disingenuous. And in fact, at one point, really crying, talking about this stuff, and like, it was a pretty cool moment, man. To me, it was the highlight of the whole trip because, you know, my dad's favorite wrestler is Terry Funk and has been since the late 60s. That's my favorite wrestler, which everybody knows. I mean, that's no secret to anyone on this line or probably very many people who've listened to me over the years. And he's one of my brother's favorites, too. And then we took a bunch of group photos. For those who've never had a Terry Funk autograph experience, he's pretty much the nicest wrestler you'll ever meet. I think Pete will probably back me up on that.
Oh, yeah. I got my autograph at the my picture at the Super Show. Yeah, super cool guy. Signed it. Like, I was his former tag team partner. And, yeah, really nice guy. Seemed like he really gave a shit when you were talking to him and stuff.
Yeah, he personally
analyzes every autograph he does. Like, when he got up to take a picture with us, he actually took extra pictures. We were only supposed to get four. We ended up in like 10 because he kept asking for more photos. Oh, this one. I like this one.
All right. I think, did Dylan fall off?
I might have.
All right. We'll try and get Dylan back on. So after this, like I said, we were at the bar, Terry Funk barbecue with Dylan, while Pete and I were at the Place to Be Nation tailgate, and we're gonna tailgate again next year.
Yep.
So make sure if you listen to Place to Be Nation and you plan on going to Mania, make plans to meet us out at the tailgate. You know, plenty of food. You obviously got to pitch in. You know, what do they say, gas, grass, or ass. No one eats for free. So. You know, something's going to go down. But everybody there was super cool, super nice.
Yeah.
Sounds like Dylan had a hell of a time at the Terry Funk barbecue. Dylan, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you great now. Yeah, you kind of faded out after a while. But so then, Dylan, you know, we all went to Mania. You got it through the door. Did you get there before Callisto Ryback?
We were in line at the gate watching on the phone for Callisto Ryback. We didn't get into our seats. We basically saw the finish of that match right as our tickets were being taken. And then we were in our seats by the time the Divas tag happened.
All right, yeah, because we got in right during the middle of the Divas tag. But I don't want you to talk about the show. We already did a React show here on Place to Be Nation. I just want you to talk about the atmosphere and your family's kind of reaction to what was going on.
We had pretty good seats, not great seats, but we were at 200 level. So,
that's where we were at. Yeah. You were on our level.
Kind of that middle tier, which I feel like was probably pretty good. I think worth the extra money. The set looked great. I thought I will say this, regardless of what people think or don't think about the quality of the show, in my section, at least the vibe for most of the show was pretty positive. There was a lot of energy in the crowd. Of course, the place came unglued when people like Austin and Rock came out, but that's not a surprise to anyone. That's a given. It ran long, obviously. That's, again, no secret to anybody. But at least in my section where I was, at no point did it feel like it was obnoxiously long. And I say that as somebody who didn't love the show. If I had to do a single word review of the show, it would be bizarre. Jonathan Coachman actually was standing above our section right as the show was going on, like just holding court like a Roman consul, staring over into the abyss. It was very weird. So at various points, the crowd were sort of like popping for Coach being there, which was weird. But so that was kind of neat and also odd. But I thought it was, you know, it was neat. The situation with getting in the building was not restricted to just us. I mean, we had issues with the Ticketmaster app. And I think you guys probably already covered that on the reaction show. But, you know, to me, the biggest, most bizarre thing to me was being in that stadium where you can only enter at certain gates. And there was really no reason. You would not have known that unless you read the fine print of your ticket.
That is absolutely true.
It was a very and there was very little staff on the outside of the building to sort of organize that and let you know. Like, shockingly small number of staff, much less than Raw, which I also went to on Monday. So it was weird. But you know, overall, for vibe, for the set, for sort of being in a unique special event, I've only been to two WrestleManias, so I can only compare it to one other, which is 27 in Atlanta, which a lot of people didn't like. I thought this show was maybe a little bit better than 27, not a lot bit better than 27. But overall, more bizarre than anything else. But, you know, how can you really criticize being at a Mania unless it's a complete disaster? You know, I know some people did think that show was a complete disaster. I didn't. It was entertaining. I had fun for the most part. Really enjoyed the Divas three-way match, especially that. That match, I think, more than anything, had a vibe like you were seeing something special. You know, everybody's going to remember the Shane bump, but the way they treated those women in the introductions and the way the match was laid out to allow them to look like stars as opposed to just an afterthought on the show, to me, that's going to be the lasting thought of that Mania when I go back and think on it 10, 20 years later.
No, I agree, man. Totally. And I will say this. our section had an incredible positive vibe too, except for our buddy Art House Johnny P, who after the women's match had shut down, but everyone else was still into. I tried, and I don't know if I mentioned this on the React Show, and Pete knows this. I tried to be entertained by that main event.
Yeah.
I tried to get up for it. Man, I even cheered Triple H's entrance, which I thought was awesome. You know, the absurdity and the hubris of it all just was awesome. But then, man, once that bell rang, God, man, I tried to get into that match. And we left early. Did y'all stay the whole time?
We stayed the whole time. Wow. Yeah, and that main event was, and Triple H was terrible in that match. People can say what they want about Reigns' performance, good, bad, or whatever. I don't think there's a single argument you can make for Triple H being anything other than abysmal in that match. I mean, there were points in the match where he was clearly sandbagging his bumps. Stephanie took a better bump than he did in the whole match. I mean, it was just a shit show. Again, I didn't hate Mania. I just thought it was bizarre. I took a picture and tweeted it out. Pete's probably seen it. And I made copy and paste it. And texted it to you, Will, because it's kind of the pic that sums it up. It's a picture of my dad's face when he realized Bray Wyatt was doing an angle with The Rock. And it is the all-time great what the fuck is this face.
Dude, you have to text me that picture.
I'll text it to you when we get flying.
All right. So anyway, so then Dylan, Pete and I, our weekend is over, brother. Like, we're cashed out. We went to 5 shows, 6 if you include Jim Ross, in 3 days.
And I just want to make sure, one question, though. You guys did not go to the Nasty Boys strip club thing, did you?
I did not, though I got invited twice.
I will definitely be there next year, Nasty Boys. All right. We'll have us a Nasty Boys
part. I did hear a story from an undisclosed person about Brian Knobs walking into the Hyatt Regency and face planting when he first got there, possibly because of how fucked up he was, though. So wow. There's that.
Hilarious.
I believe it. I ran into Knobs one time at a indie show, and he was polluted. So I believe it. He called me the third Nasty Boy, him and Sag. So I,
dude, you are a young buck. A Nasty Boy.
I know.
The Kingpin. Terry Funk's former tag partner.
He's had a Hall of Fame career.
Yeah.
So Dylan, okay, real quick, because this show's running a little bit long. So next, you go to this Jake the Snake show. Real quick, what's the show and what was going on?
The name of the show was Texas Mania. It was scheduled to start at midnight in Arlington, about 4 miles from AT&T Stadium. It ended up starting about 12:30, probably because WrestleMania went long and they didn't want to start before, which makes total sense. Believe it or not, they had a real good house. I would guess a sellout. I mean, it was pretty packed. Seeing Jake the Snake was one of the two reasons that I had considered going. The other was that there was actually a fair amount of talent on the show that I wanted to see. The Killer Elite Squad, Davey Boy Smith, and Lance Archer had a match against the Pretty Boy Killers, actually. Sammy Callahan versus Ray Rowe versus Andy Dalton was the main event, and I'm an Andy Dalton fan.
Oh, but, Andy Dalton's the best heel in the indies.
Yep, he's my favorite Texas indie guy by a pretty wide margin.
Yeah.
And I like Sammy and close. Ray Rowe. And then they also had a few other guys I wanted to see too. It wasn't just Jake. It was the lineup I thought was decent. It was completely different from any other show because this was a total independent wrestling show. There was nothing big league about this. My big takeaway from that.
You said it was a sellout. What are you looking at, like 250, 500?
I'd say maybe a little bit over 300, maybe 400 with people walking around in the lobby. I mean, it was pretty tight in there. We had second row for that.
When you think about it, starting at 12:30 at night and stuff.
Yeah, I didn't think. I figured, man, this may be half empty, and they did a good job, you know. And the big takeaways from that show, the Jake thing ended up being kind of sad because. They did a thing where – what's the guy? The guy who used to be Kazarni, Sid Bodie or whatever, who's like Jake's traveling partner kind of. They tried to do an angle off that, and it just fell really flat. And Jake was only in the ring for a second. I think it would have been better off if they'd just done a Jake appearance, to be honest with you. But the show was actually pretty good. It wasn't great. It's not anything I'd go out of my way to see. The AR Fox-Brian Cage match that was the opener – was exactly what you'd expect out of A.R. Fox versus Brian Cage. And let me tell you something, at 12:50, after you've seen a bunch of wrestling, that's exactly the match it should have been, because those two guys went out and just had an insane spot fest that was entertaining as hell and pretty much woke up the crowd. So kudos to them. Nice. Because, I mean, Fox even did his crazy over-the-post flip, which I wasn't expecting. I mean, it was really, really good spot fest. The other real big takeaway of the show for me, besides Andy Dalton being awesome in the main event and there actually being a Noah tag title defense on the show with KES defending the belts, the other big thing was, you know, Johnny Gargano wrestled on that show in a six-man, him and Candice LeRae and Joey Ryan versus some local guys. And I got to give that guy props, man. He worked like 500 times this weekend, and he was wide awake and put in a 100% effort on that show, worked cocaine super hard. Yeah, I mean, he worked super hard. I mean, like, he wrestled that show like it was a fucking Evolve or an NXT show. You know what I mean? He was not phoning in at all. So props to him. That was kind of the big takeaway from the show for me was Andy Dalton was awesome in the main event. And Gargano putting in that much effort was pretty impressive, and the opener was great.
Awesome. Well, you know, then the next night on Raw, we all saw Raw. And just real quick, Dylan, where were your seats for Raw?
My seats for Raw were by far the worst. I couldn't see the full view of the stage. I was off like on the side. It was the worst seats I had for any show all weekend.
Okay, but you were there. And on the reaction show, we said, well, Mania, that's Vince's vision, more of the same, shitty booking. And then for Raw, you know, they kind of did a left turn, and they featured, at least they teased featuring Zayn, but they featured Owens, featured AJ Styles. Looks like they're going to do AJ Styles versus Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns did his, I'm not a good guy, I'm not a bad guy, I'm the guy speech, which kind of sounds like a pseudo heel turn because they knew. But Chris Zellner, our buddy, he made a post where he thinks that everything that happened on Raw negates our feelings about Mania coming out, whereas I think that because of the crowd they had, that they weren't even going to fight it and that the real booking's going to actually start next week. What's your take on that?
Here's what I would say. Leaving Mania and thinking about it, and I'm going to credit my brother Devin, who's posted as exposer over at PWO. If you listen to this and don't know who he is, and Will and Pete got a chance to meet him this weekend too. He was excited to meet people, by the way. Devin said Mania is now just a show about moments. It's not really about anything else, as we were leaving. And I think he's right, because what they nothing was really resolved or done on that show on Mania at all. It was all just sort of like, here's The Rock, here's Steve Austin, here's the, and it, nothing seems that seemingly was going to have a major influence had occurred. Does that mean that, you know, they sort of still haven't seen that, because the inverse of that was Raw, where they were just booking for one night for the smart audience? I don't know, maybe. But I do think we've kind of reached a point where Mania, where if you're going to Mania looking for storyline resolution and all this other stuff, that's not the reason to go. They don't do that there. It was a weird feeling at that Raw taping, because half of the time the crowd pretty much hated it. Show and the other half, they absolutely loved it. And I don't know where the hell they're gonna go. I think it's really, really hard to say where they're gonna go going forward from here. I do think that there could be legs in Roman Reigns' indie killer, though. I think if they wanted to put Roman Reigns against lovable, just sort of go with that tide, there might be money in that.
Yeah, it's, which is ironic considering they have indie killer Baron Corbin, who just came up on the main roster. But all right, guys, I'm still exhausted from the show. I mean, going to work is a chore, you know, the last couple of days. Real quick, what was your favorite match of the week, and who do you think was the MVP of the weekend? And we'll start with you, Pete.
It was Hiro Sabre Jr., and Sabre Jr. was my MVP of the week of everyone I saw live. Just 3-4-star match pluses. And he actually worked in three different ways. Like, he worked underneath against Hero. He worked on more on top against Ospreay. And then he worked another completely different match with Riddle, man. I just really I really dug his versatility for the weekend, man. That's what stood out for me from him.
All right, Dylan.
Yeah, I've got to agree that the best match that I saw live was Sabre Jr. vs. Hero. And that was my favorite match, period, too. I liked it better than Zayn and Nakamura. I would never argue with anybody who disagreed with that. I think they're pretty fucking close. So it's kind of the live bias sort of creeps in, I think, a little bit there. And there's nothing you can do about that. My wrestler of the weekend, you know, oddly enough, there's only a couple people I saw more than twice when you consider the number of shows I went to. But my wrestler of the weekend is going to be Matt Riddle. You know, I thought he looked awesome in that pure grappling match versus Timothy Thatcher and just happened to have a really shitty finish, which isn't his fault. And I thought he looked incredible in a completely different way in the Tracy Williams match, which had a lot more high spots and featured him on the defensive for most of the match, taking crazy, insane bumps, you know. So Matt Riddle is probably, you know, I don't know if my opinion would change if I had seen 59 like you guys, but that's my pick for the best wrestler that I saw live.
Well, that's fair. My match of the week live would be tied between that Hero versus Sabre and then that tag match from 59, Galloway and Gargano versus Catch Point. I really enjoyed that. It just woke me up that morning, so I have a little special place in my heart. I'm probably the only one who feels that way, but I'm okay with that. I'm going to go with Pete. I think Sabre Jr. was amazing in what he did, and I don't know if the match of the weekend was one of my two Evolve matches, because, man, Zayn versus Nakamura was really freaking good. Like, that's a match that I'm still going to think about next year. And staying power means a lot for me. So, guys, it was a hell of a weekend. We're going to do it next year. Dylan, I know you said you're going to take the train from South Carolina to Florida.
Yep.
I know me and Pete have already made plans to try and be there next year.
Yep.
Have our buddy Brent Baker get us some NXT tickets next time. We're definitely doing NXT.
Yeah.
Definitely going to do Mania, of course. And we'll see how the independent scene shakes out to see what shows. I do know I'm not doing 3 wrestling shows in one day again. I'm done with that. I might do like a WrestleCon deal in the afternoon to break up a couple of shows, but or another Jim Ross, maybe do the Jim Ross afternoon show or something. But I can't do 3 wrestling shows in a day.
I hope they have a Lucha Underground presence next year, as they actually do on a Lucha Underground show.
Yeah, but then the dilemma would be, what if they do Lucha Underground at the same time as NXT?
Well, I understand that, but I'd like to see him out there, you know?
Sure, sure. Well, that's why I was bummed that they didn't do the Lucha show and we got CZW instead. But it was an awesome weekend. If you've never been to a WrestleMania, regardless of what you think of the WWE product, it is just an event being there, seeing the people dressed up, seeing the way the crowd reacts, seeing the stage, seeing the spectacle. And Dylan and Peter will agree with me. The one word that sums it all up is spectacle. You will not be bored at a WrestleMania. At least that's my takeaway from having been to a couple.
I agree.
Yeah. Totally agree. Yeah, totally agree.
Yeah.
And then the weekend, everybody I met was super cool, from the guys at the tailgate party to, meeting random fans at the indie shows. And I'm not even going to knock that lady who was screaming in my ear, you know, because she was hot. But meeting Danny Boy Rogers from Scotland. Another shout out to Danny Boy. So guys, we'll put this up on the Place to Be Nation, this little Place to Be PWO powwow that we have here. And I hope everybody enjoyed hearing our stories. And please, next year, man, if you're in Orlando, you know, get a hold of us, man. We'd love to hang out and hear your story. So take care. Bye bye. Welcome to my house, you heard me. We ain't gotta go out, cause what? Welcome to my house, my house, my house. What? Welcome to my house. It's my house.